that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 163. Don't call it a comeback, because we never left. I'm Saverin.
I love that episode name.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And we're back. See, we didn't abandon you people. We said I'm never going to give you up. Never gonna let you down.
We might run around, such. But we won't desert you.
Exactly. So, it's been a few weeks. It's, been since second week of December, I think.
Yes.
And
yep. The 10th.
We've seen some shit.
Shit you wouldn't believe.
Shit that would turn you white.
And I'm pretty damn white. So, we're back. We're here. Huzzah. Y'all sent a lot of emails. We have a lot of emails to go over. But most of all, well, we're still here. I've had a fairly good month. I mean, my shit's pretty well together.
We didn't die.
Didn't die.
That's always a bonus.
I went to New York for a weekend and came back with all my kidneys. All two of them.
Collect all two.
My time's been pretty good. My grandfather died of cancer. That sucked. But that kind of stuff happens when you're like 90. So, like I said, I'm sad, but I'm not like terribly sad about it. Because, I mean, he had cancer. And it kind of sucks and it hurts to die from.
And he's 90?
Yeah, so. Yeah, I get to go to his funeral here soon. So, how about you, Shiva? How was your break?
Christ, I'm trying to remember everything that's happened. It's been like a month.
You slept since then?
Yeah, a couple times. Let's see, we had the usual cookie-geddon. That went off really well.
That was full of deliciousness.
Lots and lots and lots and lots of cookies. Christmas happened. Oh my God, Christmas. New Year's was fun. Went to a party with some of the locals. And other than that, it's been lots and lots of working. And oh my God, Furry Fiesta is coming.
Soon.
It's coming hard.
Yeah. Fast.
Gooey.
Fiesta is coming. And that's just, I mean, I swear, it's like New Year's happens, and then oh my God, it's January, and it's just gone. And, you know, that just takes over. I swear, the year changes, and you just shift into overdrive. So I've just been handling lots of little things with that, lending a hand here and there.
Yep. Even my section's more hands off before, right before the con. It's all execution at the event, but now it's like, oh man.
We're going to have executions this year?
Well, if anybody breaks my shit, yes.
they go and die.
It's like, I will take the replacement cost out of their hides.
Oh, so I keep talking to Guardian, who is Furry Fiesta's logistic heads, and he's like, I just had to add more rooms to the room box, and we fill them up. And we add more, and it fills up. And they add more, and it fills up.
Yep.
And
it's almost like it's kind of a big deal.
So they're starting to scrape the bottom of the barrel for rooms. We just got a lump from other group that didn't fill up their room block, so we took theirs. So,
you pitiful fools! We will take your rooms!
So, what happens is they...
Is there going to be a, Guardian, like, Baptist preacher conference?
No, something gay, like a fucking Brody conference. Or
I forget, but they're only there, like, Thursday and Friday. So, what happens is Guardian calls a hotel, and the hotel calls him and says, you're full. So he says, add more. And then when it gets full up, basically the website's automated. They give it X, and when it's all gone, it's gone. Mm. But if they call into the reservation desk, the reservations desk can override it. So yeah. If people actually call, then they're fine. And they'll find a room somewhere. They'll, like, make one up and pull it out of the back and dust it off.
It's like, okay, here. We've put a partition across one of the corners of the ballroom here. That's your room. We'll put a cot in the corner And you can go into the, use the regular bathrooms.
Well, they're, the way the system is set up, it's so that you log in and try to reserve a room, and you see that it's sold out, so you shit a brick. And they're hoping that the attendees shit enough bricks that they could build that addition to the hotel, and that's where the additional rooms will come
from. Yeah, because, I mean, we're filling that place up.
Yep. Yeah. He's got overflow plans, so when in doubt, we'll find more places. You don't have to set up a tent in the courtyard. You'll be okay.
Yeah, because the hotel space that we have right now, the convention space, is fantastic.
Have you guys looked at the schedule at all?
Yeah, there's going to be something so much every single moment of the day.
Yeah, it is just packed full. I mean, he's playing scheduled Jenga, just trying to squeeze shit in there. I mean,
I'm going to be doing the gaming track, and I've got a couple things, you know, scheduled. Street Fighter 4 and Marvel's Capcom 3, etc. But it's like, I feel like my stuff's going to get completely overshadowed because of all these other panels. I mean, obviously, there's going to be people in there in the downtimes. We've got so much stuff on the schedule.
Well, it's like the people that are interested in gaming are going to go to the gaming ones. People that are interested in suiting will do that. People that are interested in writing will go to the writing ones.
Because the Ferroticon guys are back again this year. They're going to be doing the how to play in the tournament there. I've got some guy that's going to say he's going to bring his Rock Band. One guy wants to bring Modern Warfare 3 and network some systems up. And I don't know how well the local multiplayer works on those. You're going to have the tiny, you know, tiny cube of screen that you're all going to just stare at or something. I don't know.
We should go retro and have a Pong tournament.
actually, somebody let us, for last year, they lent us a 2600, Atari 2600. Nobody played it.
Ah.
Not a big surprise. The machine is older than some of the attendees.
It's not saying much considering some of the attendees.
Very true.
I think the 2600 is older than me, so around about the same age.
No.
When
did it all came out in the 80s.
It was like 83.
I thought it was late 70s.
Nah. Fact check it later.
Whatever.
Factcheck.org, motherfucker.
So you are running a bunch of gaming stuff, and you are going to be one of my dealers.
Yes.
Who I'm happy to say, at least so far, you're getting to sit next to one of our new dealers for this year. We're having Blotch come by. Well, Black Tegan, I think. Dark Tegan?
Black Tegan.
It's Black Tegan.
They are.
Blotch. So only half of Blotch.
Well, that's the other one might register, but Black Tegan's the name on the dealer registration.
Oh, okay.
Well, she's probably just handling the... Somebody's name's got to go on the dealer reg.
So I'm happy to have Blotch again this year. We got a full den and...
Get a full den in what? 12 hours?
2 hours.
We
were sold out in 2 hours this year.
Holy shit. Yeah. And the only reason...
2 hours and about 13 deep on the waiting list.
Mm-hmm. And Yeah.
So, yes, we were sold out. Last year I put on a couple panels, not doing any of that this year, unless I get drafted into
Is the tea thing yours?
And I'm doing the tea thing on. So Stratosphere, if you're listening, bring the Russian tea mix again.
The tea party.
The tea party. And I get 2 hours this time.
Nice.
And the half hour setup.
So you can actually have tea.
Well, I was amazed how many people stopped by last year. The room was packed of people just sitting around talking. And drinking tea.
Hey, sometimes you need that.
Weird. It's like, okay. So, yeah, that's my only thing is I'm putting on the tea party again.
Yeah, I mean, my stuff didn't turn out to be as grand as I had planned, but I have a second this year. Yay! I have volunteers. I have people that I can, so I won't be stuck in that room all 72 hours of the gone. So... I will be very surprised if my PlayStation, or not my 360, actually survives this year. That will have been 4 years of being used on 12 hours a day for 3 days straight.
Oh, man. I mean, 360s have to, or 360, you said?
Yeah. Oh. My 360s was one of the first post-Red Ring models.
Oh.
So the fact that it survived this long is kind of amazing.
We destroyed... two, and we haven't rebought a third. You know,
we got ours off Woot, or it was Dell, whatever. They had a sale back in the day. I mean, it's still got a dinky 20 gig hard drive, and
yeah.
old-ass machine, but it's worked this long. Let's hope it works through the con. Worst case, I'll be like, hey, anybody going to spot me a tenner so I can go down and buy a new one?
Did you guys see the photo from Guardian, his trunk full of tortilla chips?
Yes.
An entire trunk of a car filled, almost overflowing with tortilla chips.
He has a Corolla. They have a decent trunk.
I know. That's the whole thing. It's like, holy crap, a lot of chips.
In case you didn't notice yet, we're all on Furry Fiesta's staff, and we're all like, oh my god, it's so soon.
I was going to say, he's not.
We're all involved. You're going to be slinging the porn. Be like, take this.
Well, my big thing for Fiesta is for Planet is sponsoring our special guest for the con. We're bringing Alex Vance over.
Alex F. Vance.
or Khaki, his new alter ego.
Alter.
Okay.
Well, his real name, but then his alter ego, and then his alter ego.
Okay.
And he's gonna be helping me sling porn behind the
people
table.
People that have like two or three other names aside of the other one. I mean, well, what's wrong with
he changed. But since more people know him as Alex Vance, we kind of have to promote it under that.
I'm just kidding. I'm just like, people but he's going like, to be doing two some or three extra
writing
names,
panels, and I think he's going to be on a couple of the narration panels and.
Yeah.
You'll do a layout panel as well, so people could lay out a book without it looking like an eyesore. And, you know.
All things that are important. Very cool.
Yes. Make it look fine. Should be a very good time. We should have a new book out for Fiesta as well, if things go according to plan. If not, forget what I just said.
And as we'll such, it gets no hype, because we don't know if it'll be done yet.
Well, okay, so the one we are hoping will be ready is Will of the Alpha. It is a short story anthology of all BDSM-themed stories. It's got a cover by Cadath, which looks really good, and we're currently... the editor is working on the last couple of stories, and I've started doing like a... I've started reading through it just to see if I catch any last-minute typos and such, but... if you know, we did just release like 11 new things for the confusion.
Yeah,
so,
I was gonna say it was a whole bunch.
You know, it's not like it's only 1 month after FC. So if you didn't go to FC, we have a ton of new crap that you know you've probably never seen before. So,
oh god,
what?
So, oh, just I got somebody sent me a link and I'm like, oh geez. Not looking at it, though, because we're doing a podcast, because we're professionals.
Wrong show, Saverin. God, I've had a busy couple of months, I guess. I guess we did Christmas and New Year, and I couldn't really... It's been a very difficult time emotionally, the holidays and everything. So I didn't really want to do, like, the big New Year thing, so I did, like, a smaller New Year event. I subjected... Everybody to Strange Days. That was fun.
It was a very interesting movie.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I didn't think you liked it.
I liked it conceptually,
uh-huh.
But it was one of those movies that was, it was the early 90s. The story was written before the internet existed, the public internet.
Uh-huh.
And the entire conceit of the movie would have been done in 10 minutes if... the internet existed.
Yeah. If they could just upload that video to YouTube and Vimeo, they would have been done.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. like, that would have been solved the entire movie, and nobody right. would have had to been brain fried. Like,
I heard that same theory about the whole, most of the Friends.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, Seinfeld.
Not like, not being able to find somebody and not being able to call somebody, because those were done in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
90% of the storylines don't work because we all have tiny computers in our pockets.
It's amazing. It's the future.
It is.
So that was nice. And then I just got back from Verdict Confusion, I guess. Was that last weekend?
That was last weekend.
That was last... Yes. Fuck.
Because you have the con crud from it still.
Yeah, yeah, apparently. And it was a late con crud, too. Like, I was fine the first... Actually, wasn't fine the first day. I was, like, really, really tired. But I think that was just travel and shit like that. But, yeah, I got a little bit of con crud at FC. But other than that, I mean, I had a pretty good time at FC. It was, like, kind of, like, slowly getting back into the groove of being around a lot of people and being really social. And I actually, we got a, I think we got an email, but I saw a comment on my FA about somebody was looking for me and didn't see me behind the table. And I know there was a couple of times, like, Tieran opened the table on Sunday and I came down late. But, like, part of Saturday and the last part of Sunday, like, I was just, like, completely beat, and I was physically and emotionally drained, and I just kind of had to get out of there for a while. Because I haven't been a dealer since MFM, which was Labor Day weekend in September.
A while back.
Yeah, it's a while back. A lot of shit has happened to me since then, and it was just kind of the crush of almost, you know, 3,000 people. But I had a pretty good time overall. I hung out with some friends, had dinner with some friends. That was nice. But didn't really do anything crazy. Didn't stay up late or anything like that. We had a good year, though. You know, we sold a little bit more than we did last year. Not a whole lot more than what we did last year, but that's okay, because last year was a pretty awesome year. So, you know, we did quite well. A lot of the new stuff seemed to go over really well, so that was cool. So that's been my big thing. It's the beginning of the year, so I'm really busy. Right now I have to do fourth quarter sales reports for the fourth quarter royalties. I have to mail my artists and authors their tax stuff. I got to do my tax stuff. Well, I guess I have till April to do that. Except for, like, Texas sales tax was due yesterday, and I paid it like 2 days ago. So that shit's already starting, basically.
It's good that you paid it.
Oh, yeah. I totally paid it. I actually got a discount for paying it early, like by like $5 or something. So I was like, yay. But, yeah, shit's been, you know, this is a very busy time of the year for me. And then I've got a con this month, a con next month, and a con the month after that. So
spring is a busy, busy time.
Yeah, first quarter is incredibly busy time at Fur Planet. All those new releases, all those conventions. Oh, I should mention that there are two cons in Dallas. There's a Sci-Fi Expo and the Dallas Comic Con. And I forget which one is which. They're run by the same organization. One's in February and one's in May.
I think Expo is in May. I think it's the other way around. Sci-Fi soon.
So let's say it's the Expo that's coming up in February. Mm-hmm. It's about 2 weeks before Furry Fiesta. I have a table in the small press area.
Oh, you got in?
Yeah. Yes. One of the last ones, apparently, because, like,
it's right Sci-Fi after Sci-Fi Expo.
Sci-Fi Expo. Okay, great. And Elijah Dushku is the main guest at that. I think there's, like, a bunch of people from Firefly is there, too. Kaylee's there. Book is there.
Dollhouse, Buffy, Angel, Torchwood.
Torchwood? Yeah. Who from Torchwood?
Eliza Dushku.
Well, you have
Torchwood Miracle Day.
Eliza Dushku.
Oh, okay.
And you also have Book.
Yep. So there's like a ton of media guests there. And I'm going to be doing it under my mainstream name. Argo. So I'm not going to have all the porn, but I'm going to have all the non-adult stuff, a lot of the webcomic stuff.
Oh, and it's at that Irving Convention Center.
Yeah.
It's in such a weird-ass location.
Which would give us a chance to see the Irving Convention Center, because it basically, this con used to be at the Plano Convention Center. And apparently it outgrew the Plano Convention Center, so now it's down at Irving.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It's a perfectly legitimate spot for it. Uh-huh. But it's just really out of the way.
Yeah, there's not much around there in the way of, like, restaurants and stuff, right?
Well, no, you can get to MacArthur, which is right down the street.
Okay.
But it's just where it's situated, there's a lot of fields and construction.
Can you read out the URL for me on that, Saverna?
It's scifiexpo.com, SCIFIEXPO.com.
Okay, and it's cool. So that's 2 weeks before Furry Fiesta. And the reason I've decided we want to kind of branch out and do a few more local conventions where we can, like, make a few extra sales without having like a big overhead of a lot of travel expense and stuff. The nice thing about both of these cons is they're Saturday and Sunday only, which means Tiered and I don't have to take any time off of work to do them.
Plus, you might also get to meet someone awesome.
And yeah, because the one in May, the Dallas Comic Con, the main guest at that is Patrick fucking Stewart.
I know. It's like,
so this is kind of like, hey, Tiered, man, at the table, I'm going to go stand in line for 2 hours to get a picture and an autograph with Patrick Stewart, because that'll be, well, a geek fap, but
yeah, I know
that'll be very cool. Oh, and they also just added Val Kilmer.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of, he's kind of a big actor. So. Nice. And he, the picture they showed was, it is like Batman cowl, so I guess that's how it fits into the comic theme. But so yes, come by and see us. You know, we're going to be doing a couple of those local cons. That's just a couple weeks before Fiesta. If you're local, you want to meet, you know, a couple actors.
And what's great, their tickets are interesting. It's $15 a day.
It's not bad.
Yeah, this place is always dirt cheap to get in. But if you want autographs and photo opportunities with certain celebrities,
well, like,
then there's like upgrade packages.
There's the Eliza Dushku package, includes one autograph and one professional photo of op 8x10 of Eliza and you on Saturday, February 11th. Photo op can include up to two people, $90.
Yeah, but I admit, if it was for one of the actors I was really like crazy about, I'd pay that because I'm dumb.
Well, I think that's in addition to the general admission.
Yeah,
yeah.
So an autograph and a photo. So the photo is $50 to take the photo with her.
Yeah, I remember
her autograph is $40.
I remember way back in the day, autographs were like $20 and a photo was free. You just came around behind the table and your friend took your picture. But I think the business model that this convention is using is they have that dirt cheap general admission of $15 to get in. And
I mean, if you're a big enough fan, you got to pay it. You're going to pay it. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're a really big fan, you will pay that. But that's how they are going to be able to pay to bring those celebrities in.
Plus, that's how they make their money.
You know, they make enough money off of that because it probably costs a five-figure amount to bring, you know, a major actor or actress.
Well, we know just from bringing people in for a Fiesta, it can get really expensive.
Yeah.
Between airfare and everything else, just to bring a person in.
Just the airfare and the room and stuff like that adds up to.
Apparently, Hayden Panettiere has been able to attend.
Yeah, she has.
And Ali Falconer.
Who?
I don't know.
Hey, yeah, Hayden can't attend because she got some kind of... They're doing reshoots or something on a project that she's working on, something like that. So she had to cancel, which kind of sucked. But, yeah, she was like the other really well-known person that was going to be there. She played Claire on Heroes, for those that aren't familiar.
So I want to go to both of those, both the Comic-Con, because it's close, and Patrick fucking Stewart.
Yeah.
AllCon last year, it was really AllCon's same hotel as Fiesta, but their sci-fi nerd craziness.
They're a bit of mix of everything.
But they had, I can't remember the guy who was the star from Battlestar Galactica.
We talked about this. Was it Richard Hatch?
Yeah, Richard Hatch. Yeah. And just, you'd find him running around the con. He just walked by. It's like, wait a minute, that's... And he's just walking around.
These smaller conventions are like that. Like, they're a lot more kind of mixing up.
It was kind of cool. Just Star walking around, hot dogging.
So, AllCon clashes with FWA this year. And it did last year as well.
Their theme is also End of the World.
Oh. Who are our guests at AllCon
this year? That's what I was looking. I know I'll be going for the burlesque again.
See, Troy Denning. Neil Kaplan.
Neil Kaplan, really?
He's Optimus Prime. He's also Tychus Findlay in StarCraft 2.
So he's a voice actor.
He's Optimus fucking Prime. That gravelly.
Oh, cool. Then there's Micah Solsud, who is Sol in Soul Eater of the US dub. Troy Denning is a author of writing a ton of Star Wars novels. John Keyes, who's an indie horror film guy. Shroomy Lei, who is also in Soul Eater, and Sergeant Frog, and Lichtenstein in Hitalia. Whole bunch of stuff, you know?
Whole bunch of people from Throwing Stones. What's that?
No idea.
Might have to look it up, but yeah.
There's also another one, is COD DFW. Mm. It's the weekend before Furry Fiesta, and it's not in our hotel, but it is in another Crown Plaza. It's the one over by 75 and Coit, or 75 and 635, one another.
That one.
And it's, yeah. And I'm not going to go and deal at that one, because then we would have been dealing at three weekends in a row.
and Tiern was just like,
no, we're not doing that. But it is a literary sci-fi fantasy con. And they have a lot of panels on writing and publishing, and, you know, that's their whole focus. So I'm thinking of going and just going to the panels and just kind of, you know, because... It's always kind of cool to, like, get different perspectives and, you know, people that have maybe been doing this a lot longer than I have and, you know, maybe, you know, just pick up some tricks or, you know, just see what other people have to say about, you know, publishing and sci-fi fantasy and speculative fiction, things like that. So I may attend that con just as an attendee, just to check out the panels and shit, you know, just go Saturday and Sunday.
Did that replace... FenCon, or did...
I think FenCon is still around, but it's later in the year. I believe it is, like, the week before Rainforest.
There's just so many cons in DFWs, because there's all these, plus there's the comic Webcomic Expo, like, two or three anime cons.
They had Wizard World here 1 year as well.
Yeah, it's just... I don't know, do we have any gaming...
Yeah, there's
ReaperCon.
Well, there's ReaperCon. There's also QuakeCon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah. There's every weekend a Dallas Games Marathon as well. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's lots of cons in our area. That's, you know, there's lots of conventions in Dallas. So if you want to come to see a lot of cool conventions...
Dallas.
Yeah. Hopefully come to the ones that I'm going to be at.
Yep. All right. So we should start with an email, considering we've been going for half an hour now about. And I'm going to arbitrarily decide that Shiva needs to read the first email.
Yeah.
Okay. Which one is she going to read?
Are you going to find the longest one for me?
No, you can just pick one from the bottom or the top or whatever.
Or the middle.
The middle?
Well, here's one about writing. Segue into writing.
Okay.
So, we have a tangent. Community writing advice needed. And this is actually a long one, so I do them myself. Dear Notcast, first, I would like to thank you for taking time to read this email and apologize for any punctuation, spelling, or grammar errors. I'm ready for my tablet as my computer's currently in the shop. Also, fair warning, I'm a wall of text writer. Let's see. Now that that's over, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Zeth Longtail, a 20-year-old gay twink. I think that's a correct term for a small femmy male. Dragon hiding out somewhere in Massachusetts. This is my first time writing into the podcast, but I've been listening to previous episodes for a few weeks now, and they make the job of cleaning offices at night all the more fun and entertaining. First is a question that is off topic. I am a writer, and I've been doing so since I was 14. I started off writing TF stories for the weird community, but I've since branched off into writing general furry stories for the fandom. Fandom I've been in for just as long, if not perhaps longer. I recently started to move my submissions from DA to a new account to mirror a new FA account when I began to ask myself exactly what I wanted to do with my writing. After reading Waterways by K.L. Goal, excellent book, I was amazed to find out that furry writers had the means to get published. Imagine my excitement at the idea. I always had dreams of getting published with my mainstream writing and even continue writing for the furry fandom underneath a pen name. With publications such as Fur Planet and some others, my dreams seemed closer than I could ever have imagined. However, this presented me with a dilemma. When I told my fellow members of local writers group, some of which were published or published themselves, they all encouraged me to get my furry works published, if at all possible, through these channels. Though encouraging, it left me wondering what I would do about my writing for free on FA and DA. If I pursue publications of my works, I know I can't publish things I've already posted on the web, does this mean I should stop posting works on the internet entirely? Or is there some sort of happy medium I can reach? Any advice would be helpful. And now on to the topic of the podcast. Christmas this year was fantastic. It was a bit low-key due to financial issues all around, but we managed and it was nice. There was turkey, family visits, and all-around goodness. We even got to have some of my uncle's deep-fried Oreos. They were to die for. Okay, I'd never heard of that.
Huh, I read that as derp-fried Oreos, because I looked at it out the corner of my eye and didn't quite connect.
Let's see. What happened on Christmas was the closest thing I ever came to a Christmas miracle. It had been 2 years since I last went swimming. I moved to the U.S. from my native land of Canada 4 or 5 years ago, and since then I only went with swimming with friends I visited up north. For me, swimming had always been my favorite activity to keep fit and relieve stress as I sunk under the water and let the outside world fade. Let's see. Well, while I was browsing local websites, I saw one for a YMCA the next town over and quickly called to ask if they had a pool. In less than an hour, I found myself swimming in the warm waters, feeling the stress of the last 2 years fade into nothing but quiet beneath the waters. Thank you for reading this, even if it doesn't make it on the air. I also apologize as everything seems jumbled as my tablet ate my first draft of this email. Om nom nom. Can't wait to hear from you and hope to write again in the future. Keep up the long work, Zeth Longtail. He gives a link to his work and his new home for his work. So
okay. So what do you think, Fuzz?
Okay, so I'm going to have a sip. First of all, I think I can't hear Shiva over the mic. I don't know if my headphones are screwed up. Are you hearing her over the mic okay?
Yeah, I heard her just fine.
Okay, good.
Now you just got loud.
Well, I'm eating the mic.
Oh, mom. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I was actually being recorded.
Oh, yes.
So,
her waveforms
are... What I would recommend is the sort of happy medium. It's generally true that you don't want to publish stuff that's already been on the web, but it's not entirely 100% true. Like, they take out a position, for example, by Kyle. He'd written, like, he posted two of the stories to YifStar back in the day, and then had re-edited them and added the last part and made it into a novel. So you could read basically an early draft of part of the story online, but, you know, the whole story in a much more edited and professional format was when he put the book together. It's the same with Waterways. Like, two parts of Waterways are online, but they're not as, I guess, refined.
Polished?
As polished. I mean, he polishes them, but I know he goes back again and redoes it and makes sure it flows properly into the third part and all that. So, you know, it's... It's kind of, you know, it's 50-50 because it's not exactly what's been posted online, but it's some of what's been posted online, but the book still has more content, so the book still has a selling feature in that, plus has interior illustrations and all that too. But I would also recommend still posting some stuff online and keeping some stuff for publication. If you look at Kyle and Cam Parasaki just posted their Ursa Major things because the Ursa Majors are open for nominations again right now. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, this story is online. This story is in Heat. This story is in a Fur Planet book. These two stories are online. That was like Cam Parasaki's journal. And I'm thinking of that because I just read it earlier today. So it's like, you know, over the course of a year, he put out like two or three stories on FA. And then he has one in an issue of Heat, and he has one in a book that we published as part of an anthology. So you put some out there for free so that you're building your readership, the people that are interested in you, the people that might be actually interested in purchasing a book or a magazine that you're in later on. You know, you're growing your audience, but you're not putting everything out there for free, and especially not in its like finished final form. So yeah, it's kind of do both. You don't just write for publication, and you don't just put everything on the web.
You could always do like short, sweet little stories for the web, and longer works in publications, or vice versa. Well, not vice versa, but you know.
Well, whatever you want to do. I mean, I've got one of our authors has a whole novel on the web serialized. Like, she posted like a chapter. I don't know if she did it a chapter a week or a chapter a month or a chapter or whenever she finished it. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But she put that out there. But then that was like the first draft. But the second draft, the third draft, and all the editing and stuff like that, and the rewrites and everything, that took place later on. And so the finished book is different than what's on the web. But, you know, for a full novel, yeah, I'd probably recommend not putting a whole novel online. But I've had a couple people that have put, like, parts of a book online as a teaser. Like, Kevin Frayn for 1,000 Leaves, there's actually like an unused prologue that he posted to FA after 1,000 Leaves had come out. It's kind of like a DVD bonus feature, basically. That's just, you know, he put it out on FA. So you want to do both, basically, is the short answer. I know that was a really roundabout way to get to it.
No, I think it fleshed it out well, though.
Yeah.
Instead of just that, both.
Yeah, I guess I could have just said, do both, next question. But, yeah, but that's basically my advice on that. And I'd also recommend listening to our friends over at the Unsheathed podcast, if you want to hear a podcast that's all about writing, and especially a lot of writing in the furry community, since you're already familiar with Kyle Gold anyway. That's a good podcast to listen to for more writing advice.
I hear he's kind of popular.
He's kind of a big deal.
Wow. All right, so do you want to read the next email?
Sure. Okay.
Give me a grip and sip.
Yeah, I'm not feeling real good right now, so let's see how much I can actually read here.
Read through the pain.
Oh, good. Okay. Read through the pain. Fuck through the pain. Okay. First time email from a long time fan. Hola, Lancasters! Tea? I had energy, and now I have none. I'm done now. Good night.
You burned yourself out.
Good night, big balls. TJ here. I've been an active listener since episode 130, but I am slowly working on the backlog. I'm in the middle of episode 79 and have been listening for almost a year and still have much to go. But it has been a fun ride. So let me start by thanking all the main casters, past and current, and all their token females for such a great show. On to part one of the email. I had a very good Christmas. Last Christmas, I came out to my parents. That went well. This year, I took my boyfriend to California from Ohio, and he got to meet my parents for the first time. They loved him. At the end of the trip, my mother actually called him their future son-in-law. That made me happy.
Well, that's really good.
Yay! Yeah, that is really good. It's always really nice when families are, like, accepting like that and everything. And I'm very fortunate I have that kind of relationship with Tyrion's family.
Whoa!
Thank you, Saffron. I was thinking it, but... On to off-topicness. Recently, I found out what I want to do with a BA in English I'm getting after this quarter. I'd like to maybe be an editor. The real question becomes how. I guess this is more of a fuzz question, but how do you go about getting editors for Fur Planet? Or does the author bring you a clean and polished product? Any help with this would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for all the amazing advice you have to give over the years, and here's to many more. Keep up the amazing show, and I look forward to replying to many more topics to come. Okay, so... Boy, I'm just doing all the talking right now.
That's all right.
It's been too Fur Planet.
Yeah, it's been too writing, publishing-related things. This answer is another kind of mixed bag. We get submissions in all manner of condition to Fur Planet. Sometimes we get an author who is either a damn good editor themselves or is working with a friend or a writing group where they edit their stuff, and they're bringing basically a finished product to me that has already been... They've already had somebody edit it and go over it and stuff like that. Like the Cupcake series, those guys all pretty much work together. So when I get a Cupcakes book, pretty much all I have to do is read it and catch any typos. Because even if it's only one, there will always be a typo in every book ever. Even if I've heard of six people looking at the same book, and your brain just sort of auto-corrects sometimes when you've seen the same manuscript over and over. Mm-hmm. So usually I'll end up reading just to do a typo check at least. There's others that come in, that need some work. We've had a couple folks volunteer to help us out. And, you know, so we've worked with some people independently like that.
Tyrion grabbed me to do some of the straight proofreading.
Yeah. See if a woman would actually moan like this, basically. it helps us to get a different perspective sometimes. We've also had a couple of people just step forward and say, hey, I have an idea for an anthology. I want to be the editor on it. Would you be interested in anthology with X theme? And we were like, sure, that sounds interesting. The thing about that, though, that I would definitely extend this advice is that editor does not mean I'm going to read 50 stories, pick out the 10 ones that I like, and put them in a book. You're going to pick the good ones that fit your theme and all that, but editing means actually going through and improving the story and working with the author to improve the story and finding things like grammatical fuck ups and typos and things like that. I worked with a couple people where it was just like, here's all the stories, and you would read them, and it's kind of like, these aren't quite ready for prime time. I thought you were going to edit them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be a little careful with that and work with people individually. It's not really, everyone kind of involved with this is just sort of doing it as part of the hobby. Right now, editing is not really a paying gig in the furry community.
Yeah.
Usually it's like you have a buddy that's a good writer and they're going to work with you and, you know, get your book polished up. We've had a couple folks do that where the author has been like a friend of theirs or something like that. You know, and they've had like a second pair of eyes basically on everything that they're writing to help kind of improve it. So it would be neat to actually see more of an editing community come together. There's been some discussion about this in a couple of the various furry writing forums and everything. But right now, I mean, it really, you end up with a little circle of people that you kind of know and trust that can do the job, and you end up working with them. But I'm always open to suggestions, and especially now that we're, you know, that Bad Dog Books is part of our organization, you know, I'm going to have couple more go-to people there that can maybe help out with editing or suggesting editors or, you know, helping train someone to be an editor or things like that, so... You can Science. Shoot me. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of wibbly wobbly in a way because it's such a new medium overall. So it's one of those things where, like, just shoot me an email, I guess, and we could talk about it, and maybe I could send you a story to edit and see how you do, basically. And, you know, if I look over it and there's still like a shitload of typos and stuff like that, I'm going to be like, you need to have a little more careful eye here. But, mm-hmm. you know, and one thing you could do is kind of send if you edit a sample story, you could write up, here's what I'm telling you the publisher is wrong with this story. And then also write up, here is the feedback I would communicate to the author, because it's going to be two very different forms of feedback. And you have to be able to deliver both, because you want to be able to deliver, you know, constructive criticism and not just tear something apart or say, this is crap, You know, you ought to actually give somebody, if you're writing, like, writing a rejection letter, you want to give somebody something that they could maybe take and learn from.
You suck.
Yeah, not just you suck, go away. You know, maybe something to be like, yeah, it's not quite right, and here's why. And, you know, sometimes people get rejected from stories for reasons that are not bad. Like, Tyrion had a story rejected from Fang because it was too long, but it was a little too short to be a novel. So Alex was like, if you could make this novel length, we'll just publish it as a novel because I really like it. And that became The Hero. But originally that was an overly long submission to Fang Volume 3, which was the fantasy-themed issue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's it. And Kyle's got on record saying this too with, I can't remember what it was. It was either Bridges or Out of Position that was, actually it might have been both of them were rejected stories, but I think it was Bridges was one that was too long for an issue of Heat, or someone else had already written a story very similar and they'd already accepted it. Something like that. I can't remember what it was, but then he turned around, he expanded the characters and the plot, made it its own story, and then we released it as a novella. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, this rejection doesn't necessarily have to be bad. Wow, that turned from, like, advice from editors to advice to writers again. Sorry about that.
Well, writer has to know how to give these. Oh, sorry. Editor has to know how to give these advice to writers.
Right, yeah.
So
that's that.
Yes. Saverin, your turn.
Your turn, Saverin.
I get to read an email, and this one's fucked up.
Yay!
Yay!
No.
Okay. Good day, casters of the knot. I have a bit of a story/question thing for you. Me and my maid of 9 months recently broke up after months upon months of yelling, screaming, and general drama and such. I finally decided to call it quits and try to get out of this crazy-ass bullshit. But here's a little backstory on how crazy he is. Former drug user, recovering alcoholic, racist. Even though he claimed for years to be open about being gay, he was still incredibly cautious of being open in any way publicly. He wouldn't even hold my hand in the gay district in St. Louis. I admit that maybe me, being only 19, probably should have not been dating somebody this was drastically older than me. He was 28. But when I first met him, he seemed sweet, and I just thought he had a few quirks of his own. Who doesn't? As the relationship progressed, it got into screaming matches over things such as how I did not contribute to making the relationship work, even though I was the one who traveled 400 miles in my piece-of-shit car with gas money I barely had just for the sake of seeing him. At times, he seemed subdued and was a lot more calm and kinder to me. However, until he then told me that he was ashamed that he had had sex with me, please note that he took my virginity, he claimed that since he is Catholic, that God said that two men can love one another but can't have sex. He, of course, told me that even I was being irrational when I said it hurt me just a little that my first time apparently was something vile and sinful. Then I turned to even worse, he told me such things as, if you ever get fat, I'll sure as hell will never touch you again. Taking into consideration, I used to be anorexic and starved myself down to 45 pounds
Holy
at one
crap.
Point. Or things like, if you cut your hair this way or dress that way, I'll be embarrassed to be seen in public with you and pretend not to know you.
For someone that he doesn't want to fuck, he seems to have a lot of concern about this, about the emailer's looks.
And yeah. To make things really wonderful, by the way, I spent my entire Christmas break with him. I totally took a lot of shit from my mother for not spending the time with my family, as well since the tickets to get up there were my Christmas gift from my father, who originally planned to get me an iPhone 4. So I gave up something that would replace my phone from hell to go up there for him. But he spent all 2 weeks yelling and screaming about how annoying it was to have someone at home waiting for him, willing to cook for him, and someone who had been cleaning his apartment for him.
Wait, he was complaining that that was annoying?
Yeah. Okay. And, of course, as one of the typical furs that wanted to deny he was an asshole, that he was just having a rough time, all of my friends begged me to leave his dumb ass. When I finally worked up the courage to stand up and end things, he immediately started attacking my friends, calling them idiots or lazy sacks of shit, even though he's never met them, and started attacking me, calling me worthless, stupid, and a dumb kid, and many other names, and even had the nerve to make threats against me. So not to bore you with any further details on the subject matter, I have a question or two to direct to you. First off, have you ever had to deal with one of those exes that gives you that you give them your everything, and no matter how little they give in return, you try to justify it for them? And secondly, one of my biggest problems with him was that he insisted that one made more money in the relationship, had the power, and could tell the other how things were going to work. Do you agree or disagree with the idea that money holds a kind of power in a relationship? Anyhow, I love your show, listened for years, and just decided to finally write in. Listen to you guys during classes and nearly fall to the ground laughing at some of the shit you guys say. Keep up the awesome work, and I hope maybe you can read this on air and I can hear your answers from your neighborhood figer, Anon.
Fox Tiger? I'm going to guess.
Well, he signed it his real name, so we're just going to say Anon.
Wow.
I thought this... Figer was a species.
Liger Figer, F-I-G-E-R. So I'm going to say the Fox Tiger.
Okay, sure. This guy's ex is a Dude. Class A cunt. I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, just your, wow. Your ex is a shithead.
Glad you dumped his ex.
Glad you dumped him.
Yeah. Dump ex to not die. Seriously, that guy has some fucking issues. About the money thing, in a sane relationship, it's a partnership. Even if one person is making, you know, more than 50% of the money or all of the money, and the other one is making less than that. Each party contributes to the relationship. And I know this because this is something that Tyrion tells me when I feel down about myself because I don't have as well a paying job as he does. But, you know, for Planet, you know, makes up for it. And, mm-hmm. you know, we get to spend our time together and go to cons and stuff like that. You know, and I hold up my end of the relationship, basically. It's not... Yeah, money is important to having a nice life and paying for an apartment or a house and, you know, being able to afford to go on vacation together and stuff like that. But it's not really the foundation of a relationship, you know. Love, communication, mutual respect, those are the foundations of a relationship. So, no, he's completely fucking wrong.
Well, it basically comes down to if he thinks that he's got more control over a relationship because he makes more money, that's basically saying he's bought the right to control you, and that kind of goes down a darker path.
Like you're some kind of fucking Russian mail order bride or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not how things work in the real world.
You're not a prostitute, you're his boyfriend.
Well,
so.
Were. And good were, on you yes. for nipping that in the bud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were writing to us to ask if you should break up, you totally would have gotten a yes. But since you've already seen fit to do that, we don't have to worry about convincing you of that. Yeah. But no, he's wrong. He's a total shit.
And what I think's the best out of this story, like the good end part, is the fact that there is a big distance between the two. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So Crazy X can go get his crazy all over his local area, and
not near
the,
you.
The writer of the email can live his own life.
Yeah, you know, and don't regret or, you know, dwell on the loss of the potential iPhone 4 in exchange for doing this. You know. You're young. We were all young once. We all make mistakes at some point in our lives, young, old, somewhere in between. You know, you make a mistake and you learn from it. Look at it this way. It cost you like $400 to figure out that you're not going to be moving in with this asshole long distance. You know, you're not losing like a great deal of your time. Before it became abundantly clear that this was not going to work out. So consider that the ticket that you bought out of this crazy fucking relationship.
Amen.
It is a lesson learned.
Money well spent.
Money well spent. Lesson learned. Move on. You've grown up a little. It forms character. You're a better person now. There you go.
And you've learned for warning signs for your next relationship of what not to do.
Yes.
All right, my turn again.
Yep. This one's short, though, so you can handle it.
Well, I was going to skip that one because I don't know anything about doing that.
Okay.
What was it about? Jerking off or something?
No, I know how to do that.
Oh. Moving to Houston specifically.
So, oh, okay.
Don't move to Houston right unless you have a job.
Yeah.
Don't move to Houston.
Don't move to Houston.
Move to Dallas. We can give advice on that one. Don't know anything about moving to Houston.
Don't live in Houston, kids. Unless you live in Houston, then I have you have my pity.
Okay, FC Con report for a first-time attendee.
There we go.
Hello there, naughty casters. Long-time listener, first-time writer. It took me nearly 6 months to catch up to the current episode, but anyways. Let's see. Further confusion was my first furry, but by all means, this is not my first barbecue. I've been to 4 anime conventions and a computer expo. 3 of those had numbers in excess of 12,000 attendees. As a result of such attendance, my report may be a bit skewed towards the technical. It's safe to say that the convention had a few more problems, like the more than a few problems, like the fox butt escapade. I have no idea.
He goes on to explain later in the email.
But overall, I say that this was the most fun any convention I've ever been to. I keep telling normal friends that it's like a baseball game, where the mascot comes out and dances and everybody cheers, only for 4 days straight. I don't normally smile nearly this much. Registration was less than well optimized. I had all my paperwork in order, but what should have taken less than 2 minutes took about 7. Yes, that doesn't seem long, but this was for each person with the paperwork and government ID. Registration is always one of those things. Everybody's looking for the best way to do it, and it's usually crazy. Panels are either packed like sardines or hot dogs, or hot dog in a hallway empty?
Yeah.
What?
Either really full or really empty.
All right. Generally with a small panel in a big room next to a big panel in a small ring. Folding walls exist for a reason, guys. Notcast loves making jokes about the dentists or hairdressers in Furry Fiesta, but I'm sure that pales in a comparison to Occupy Volleyball. Ah, yes, the volleyball tournament. I'm sure there will be pictures up on FA or the like, but long story short, they pissed everybody off, including the venue staff, the fire marshal, and the con staff. They intruded on our turf. They took over the front plaza so badly that the fursuit parade had to be reorganized on the fly. Yes, thank you, Flair. We don't give you enough credit. The dancers mainly had the problem of the DJs most likely not knowing what a volume knob is. In one particular case, you couldn't even stand outside the door to the second stage anymore than you could a jet engine. Music had to be enjoyed down the hallway. This didn't generally seem to be a problem at the main stage because there was an AV guy with a brain there at all times. Yes, we love the tireless toiling of the AV crew. I entered the dealer's den with 350 on Friday and left with 340 on Sunday. Looks like he picked up Tales of the Neon Phoenix. There just didn't seem like anything I really had to buy, though I never managed to fight my way through the crowd and visit the Bad Dragon table. Yeah, those guys. Tyrion can vouch for that crowd. Speaking of which, where the hell was Fuzz?
I don't think Tyrion can vouch for that crowd, since he doesn't know any of them, as far as I know.
He was referring to the size and density of the crowding around the Bad Dragon table in general.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah, those guys need, like, their own thing separate from everybody else at all the cons they go to, because it's...
All I know is I would
As expensive as their product is, they're incredibly popular.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Let's see, I went by the Fur Planet table at least twice a day, and being from the internet, it's much harder than you would believe to get close enough to read badges without appearing creepy. I'm sure that I did appear creepy, but I literally do not know what anybody looks like in real life. I suppose I would have asked one of the shopkeepers if there was a point at which they weren't vending. Yes, don't disrupt the money. Next year I'll be bringing a doorknob and you better be willing to sign it in blood.
Sharpie, maybe.
Yeah, blood, Sharpie, no. Yes, blood, no.
The best experience, underline, was hugging a fursuit for the first time. Incredibly soft and fluffy. The worst.
And crusty in some cases.
He must have hugged the right one because he sounded happy, not yuck, yuck, yuck.
Okay, good.
The worst experience was an incredibly small volume of hugs I received. The animated fandom gives out hugs much more easily than the furries seem to. They also bathe far less. Yes, I'm calling it out. We need a free hug test sector. Clarification 1. furries vape more than otaku.
Yay.
Clarification too, there are lines of out of the way halls at anime conventions where people just hold up free hug sign.
So Ronery.
Let's see.
Forever Ron.
Well, of your listeners that heard the entire backlog from episode one, a wolf with such a strong new first smell that she's still coughing out the packing peanuts, Motaku Yu. I like that, still coughing out. let's see.
Then there's a PS.
The flyer for Furry Fiesta was in the comic book for FC. It's worth a good giggle on a Tuesday morning.
Okay, and the rest is a bit TLDR.
And that just makes it funny because I drew that stupid, and I say stupid because I'm putting myself down, flyer.
Oh. I like it.
I thought it was cute.
I guess I mentioned earlier, I was at the Fur Planet table most of the weekend, but I did have a couple periods of time where I wasn't there.
What you guys need is Fur Planet shirts, you know, Fur Planet logo on the front, and then across the back, Fuzz Wolf.
Oh, we need like baseball jerseys. Those would get incredibly hot. That dealer's room, the first day, so Friday's almost always the busiest day of the con. And that first day, there was actually so I was rooming with Keo and Teal, and apparently they had, approached the dealer's room and saw how packed it was, and were like, whoa, we're going to, wait out here until it clears out a little bit. And I heard more than one person say that because it was just such a crush of people. I didn't mind the Bad Dragon table being nearby. I mean, it was like the aisles were so wide and their crowd mostly stuck to their table, so it didn't impede any of the customers getting to my table or anything. Apparently, Savard is abused by that.
I just thought they stuck to their table.
Oh, I didn't mean it like that. God.
Oh, I know.
But, you know, anything that brings a crowd. I mean, it was a pretty busy corner anyway, because on the end of the row, Sofa Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
To their left, Blotch. To their left, a new dealer does custom t-shirts. It was pretty cool. Then us. Directly across from us, Bad Dragon. So, you've got, the two publishers, the dong maker, and one of the powerhouse artists, all right here in this little corner of the dealer's room.
How do they display their stuff? I mean, do they just have dongs out everywhere?
They have big black cases that zip up, so basically
they're like deposit bags from banks.
It's like a box. I've seen it going by. But I guess they unzip them and you just pull the flap back and you can see
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. And then they put the flap back on there. But they're not just sitting there like that soda cup on the table or anything like that. No.
People are waving over there. Dragon Con!
They hold it up in the air. It's covered in post-it notes because it's censored. I thought it'd be kind of a funny idea.
No, what'd be funnier is they have a giant censored bar on a handle and they just start holding it up and waving it around. It's like, man, check out this amazing new product from Bad Dragon.
Oh, that would be
and it's
awesome.
Just a censored bar.
A stick.
Yeah, it's like they have a handle in the middle and it's on both sides of their hand.
Yeah.
And it just goes out for a way and just waving it around. That'd be hilarious.
That's a great idea.
They should do that.
Well, they've probably got the equipment to do that, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Oh, they could do an anti-SOPA fake toy like they did the crowbar that one. They could said fuck censorship.
Oh, nice. I know they had the little mini horse cocks.
They're like that big?
And yeah, they're like that big. And one of the artists was sitting next to Gideon, because Gideon had his My Little Brony portfolio. But he also had, some of the pony toys on his table. So there's a couple pictures on FA where someone's taken, the little mini stallion cocks and, stuck it between Rarity and Fluttershy's legs and taken a picture of
it. Oh, my God.
And posted it to FA, and it's just face hoof,
Why?
Because they can.
Because they can.
It's just people having dumb fun, I don't advocate Rule 34 ponies, but it's just some silliness. But I never talked to any of the Bat Dragon guys, but we were both incredibly busy most of the weekend, so I wouldn't really had much opportunity to. The thing with the volleyball players, though, I actually didn't really have much of a problem with them. Although I did hear about a couple of incidents where, like, somebody got kicked out of the second floor of the convention center because they were passing through. Because the convention center, you had to pass through the convention center to get from one hotel to the other. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff was in the Marriott. Mm-hmm. I was in the Hilton. And I guess this other dude was in the Hilton, too. And you have to go through the Florida Convention Center to get to the you know, it's like a sky bridge, basically, the mm-hmm. concourse at a convention center. And you're supposed to be able to use FC badges to get in and out of there 24 hours, basically. But they had some kind of incident with that. Once the volleyball players arrived, basically you had to pass through their convention in order to get to the Hilton. Because they were using one of the big ballrooms to play volleyball in. Well, not big ballroom, big whatever they call it at a convention center, the big mm-hmm. hall. So the vending area was out in the concourse where you'd walk through. But that was also where they were selling, like, food. The convention center had, like, food kiosks and stuff like that. So there was a lot of people in. That wasn't really, like, invading our territory, quote-unquote. That was, there was a lot of people intermingling because they had to go to stop there to buy a sandwich or to walk through to get back to the Hilton and stuff like that. I was quite amused that a lot of the volleyball players seemed genuinely amused and delighted at the fursuiters.
I still remember the dentist and they were and the Mary Kay ladies cheering our parade the first year. They were very drunk, but hey, they thought we were awesome. Well,
this wasn't drunk. This was like teenage girl. Oh my God, it's a fursuit. So outside our area before it got to like the volleyball stuff, they had the you know, the people that, I don't know if it's the same organization or not, but there's the people that like do the fursuit photography at every con, and they usually have a big setup with a backdrop and a real professional looking camera and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And this guy, they had set him up in the concourse at a convention center where there was plenty of room, and he wasn't just kind of stuffed in a corner of a dealer's room or a panel room or something like that, which was kind of cool. So there's a like a line of fursuiters forming to get their picture taken. And the last one in line is like this green wolf fursuiter. And like four or five times in the time that he was in line, he got pulled out of line by some family or some volleyball players and like asked to have a picture taken, and he'd have his picture taken and then he'd get back in line. It was because he was the last guy in line, so he kept getting pulled to the side, have his picture taken with the volleyball group and the family, and then get back in the line. I just thought it was kind of neat. Like, they weren't like the ones that I saw just in my brief interaction out there, they weren't like horrified or disgusted or anything. They actually seemed to be thought they were kind of cool, basically. Mm-hmm. So I took it to be a mostly positive sharing of the convention space with another group for the weekend. We've had worse, you know. They were mostly teenagers, so it wasn't... And teenagers there on, like, a school trip, basically, as a volleyball team. So it wasn't, like, drunk Mary Kay bitches wandering into the dance and, which is what we had to deal with.
Well, yeah, the drunk Mary Kay that they were just kind of... cheering the fursuits along. It's like, yeah, look at that one, it's a fox, yeah, you know?
I do think a couple of the people from the other convention slipped into the dealer's room, because I saw a guy, he didn't look like a furry, he didn't move like a furry in the dealer's room. It's like subtle wolf senses, I could tell. But he also wasn't wearing a badge, mm-hmm. or any badge, not a furry character badge or the convention badge. So it was like a couple people like that that I was like, I'm not going to whip out the porn, you know? but he just kind of walked by, looked at the table, walked on, you know? So yeah, they should be doing that, you know? And that part is sort of like, you're not supposed to be going into the FC areas without buying an FC badge, but you know, whatever. If we're not dicks to people in the outside world, you know, maybe, you know, it kind of reflects well mm-hmm. on the fandom. But yeah, that just occurred as these people are writing in, as I'm hearing more stories of FC, like more of it's coming back to me because I have that bad a memory. And even though it was just last weekend.
Plus, I'm sure that stuffed up head is not helping you think.
The what? Oh, yeah, stuffed up head, the cold medicine. You know, I'm still having a lot of weird emotional up and downs and stuff like that lately, too. But, Yeah, I've had a busy, weird week. and they wanted everyone to work overtime today and over the weekend and everything like that. And it's not mandatory, but it's kind of like we could really, really use the help. But I was just coming down with a cold, and I'm like, man, I'm going to try to make it through my normal 8-hour shift on Friday, but I can't promise anything beyond that. And
you're going to sleep this weekend.
At the rate I'm going, I'm going to leave here, go to a drugstore, buy a bottle of NyQuil, and just fucking pass out.
Chug it on the way home. Hope you get there in time.
Yeah. Just doing NyQuil shots, you know, with vodka chasers.
Well, that's how you can tell how sick you are, is how bad NyQuil tastes. If it tastes okay, you're pretty damn sick.
Yeah. Because your taste buds on your tongue are so dull and dead, and your nose is so stuffed at that point. It's like, hey, that wasn't bad. NyQuil never tastes bad to me, but then again, I only ever take it when I'm sick.
NyQuil has this weird thing. It will make me tired, but occasionally has the opposite switch, and it makes me jittery, so I can't settle down. So.
Maybe you took too much of it.
No, I just took like a normal dose with the line on the gut. So it's a...
You didn't do it with like a Red Bull or something.
No. Yeah.
So, NyQuil Red Bull. Woo! It's a party now! I'm going to go to the emergency room.
Well, I think that's mine done.
Okay, so it's been over an hour. We should take a quick break, stop, save, and play some music, and Adam and Eve, but we'll be back.
All right.
Set it wrong.
back. That was the Sephiroth theme from the OC Remix album Badass. It's a bunch of boss themes, and that was done by Prototype Raptor. Hope you enjoyed. And now to go on to our sponsors, AdamandEve.com. Shiva, will you read an email?
Hi there, Notcast. I've been a fan and listener for a while now, and I always hear about Adam and Eve Toy of the Week. I've decided it's time to take the plunge, and finally buy a toy to try out anal stimulation. Problem is... yes, not up to the elbow. Problem is I hop
go
on...
Go deep to the back of his Eve. Teeth.
And can't seem to tell what would be a good for someone just starting out with toys. Could you gear this week's Adam and Eve product as something for the newbies to anal play and offer some suggestions on what to work for in a first toy, dildo versus plug, length and width to be comfortable, something that will be good from first stretch to seasoned professional? Thanks so much. Kitch. So, looked on Adam and Eve, and there is a toy. It's underneath male sex toys. It's for anal. It's a Crystal Jellies anal starter. They recommend a water-based lubricant to work with it because you don't want to damage the toy. It's 5 inches long, 1 inch insertable. It's firm and flexible. It's for beginners and experts, so it sounds like it's pretty much up your alley. Let's see. Just reading the description, it looks like it's a pretty good starter toy. It looks pretty slick, so you won't get a lot of drag. And definitely do pick up nice quality lube with this. You don't want to damage anything. The good news is it's only $12.95, but we have a coupon code. It's not KNOT. So you can get that for half off. So it would be about $6.50. You'll get free shipping within, I think it's the continental U.S.
Continental U.S.
So not Hawaii and not Alaska, but everywhere in the lower 48. You get how many DVDs?
Three free DVDs.
Plus a mystery gift, and we always like hearing what you got this time. So if you get it, please
herpes.
That's please not don't. A gift.
Yeah, don't get herpes.
Okay.
So you can get it cheap. You can get a nice starter. You can get free shipping, and you'll get porn with it. So there you go. There's your starter deck.
Starter deck.
Starter dick. Nice.
All right. So, Shiva, you read the last email, right?
And I read the advertisement.
Okay, so guess the relationship calculus goes to you, Fuzz.
I thought it was yours.
Or it could be mine. Either way.
I'm pretty sure it's yours.
No, we were going that way, weren't we?
Yeah, stopped on Fuzz, so it's yours.
Oh, I thought... whatever.
Get out the chalkboards, kids.
Anyways, one last thing, though. We did enjoy during the break some of the fantastic cheese sent to us by the Wolfie Man. Thank you very much. It got to us in one piece, and it's been in my fridge.
And it's no longer in one piece?
It's no longer in one piece. It's about half gone.
Yes, very nom.
It's all very good. Thank you very much for sending it. We appreciate it. Moving on to the next email, it's relationship calculus. Hello, canid penile launchers. Okie dokie. I am
casters,
writing in again.
Get it?
Yes. Uh-huh. I am writing again as Anonymous. I wrote in about the 140s regarding toys for mates. One was into me and might have been moving near me. Another I bore a torch for but had been burned by before, and the other had recently got out of a relationship and wasn't ready for a new one, according to an inside source. Updated situation. The one moving near has been unable to do so and will not anymore. I've done as you advised and took the one I bore a torch for out as well. Recently, the one who was hurt, call him Fog, has been fairly talkative to me. We are very local, short train ride, enjoy the same things, and I think he's cute. He's paid me a few compliments, too. Now, recently, at a furry New Year's Eve party, a fur, call him Frost, was hugging on me a lot that night. We were both drinking, and he seemed very affectionate. As a rule of thumb, I discounted any and all of his actions because there was alcohol involved. I did like the attention, though. We met up again, as just him and I, pursuing a friendship that resulted from the party. We saw a film, and wouldn't you know it, he was just as huggy and neck-nommy as before. So I began to get feelings for Frost. The problem is, Fog started showing more of a friendly interest in me after I grew feelings for Frost. Now, the thing with Fog is not certain, but he did invite me to go to the gaming shop with him. not mentioning others. This would put me and him together with no others. I did the same thing to Frost before the movie. I don't know who to look at. I don't want to throw away what Frost and I have in case Fogg is just being real no extra benefits friendly. But I have feelings for Fogg for longer. I feel like I could go with either way for them. Also, a side note, my condolences to Fuzz. Sorry I have to go through this to a loss. Hope you're doing okay. Sincerely yours, the undersigned. Blank. Blank.
Well, I would find out what Fogg's intentions are. If he's just being friendly, you know,
find it rather amusing, the whole, we're going to go to the comic shop, or the gaming shop in this case.
Is it a date?
Yeah. I wouldn't take that as a date unless, like, explicitly said as much. It's totally okay to hang out with friends, even if you do have feelings for them. And going to a comic shop is hardly what I'd call the most romantic of locales. Then again, I mean, opening up... I would have a metaphor here about you'd open up a booster and get some hot card, but I haven't played Magic in years, so I'm like...
Hmm.
Get a Jace. I don't know.
If he lets you touch his rares, then it's true love.
And if he takes that Mox out of its sleeve and hands it to you, going all the way.
If he holds up five identical commons and says, these remind me of you, then it's all over.
You remind me of this shitty art on this forest. No.
Look at this cross-hatching. What the fuck?
It's like they just used a Photoshop grass tool for this. Planes. date them both, it's entirely possible.
At least until you ascertain what each's intentions are.
Yeah, I mean, Fogg could just be trying to be a friend.
Or after your magic cards.
Or, yes, he wants to show you his Pokemons. You should let him show you his Pokemons.
His Pokeballs.
They're supposed to show you his Pokeballs, red. You should probably do that in the privacy of his home, not the comic shop.
Just throw them right up there on the table. Like,
even if it may be the only sex that occurs to anybody in that store for a long time, that's just... Let's not go there.
This shit's going on YouTube.
That's the other...
Critical hit,
back to
bitch.
Something that we've looped back to before, is like, it's okay to... You probably don't want to be fucking both of them.
Don't do that.
But it's usually okay to, like, go out on a couple of thing, you know, dates, go to movies, whatnot, before you start settling down into A or B, or is this a real thing? Figure out if it's a real thing first and handle it then. Don't start trimming out your possibilities because you think you might go someplace with one of these. Granted, the Necronomy Frost is probably a good indication that he's interested in more than just taking you to the comic shop.
And he's grown feelings for Frost.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning towards saying, look, you have this long, unrequited crush thing for Fogg, and that's cool and all. That shit happens.
But you got a Frost nomming on you.
But
I mean,
he's clearly interested, and you have feelings for him. So I would be leaning towards him more than the friend who maybe you don't really know what he feels for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me.
I agree.
Saffron?
Yeah. I already said, you know, it's like just be friends with both and date the one that's explicitly wanting to date, but be friends with both of them. It's not hard. Just don't be sucking both their dicks at the same time. It'd be a little bit... Awkward.
Fuck all the bitches.
All right, my turn. Or do we skip me because I got to read the X?
No, you can read an email.
Fuck it. I'm going home.
Fine,
microphone flip.
Pool's closed.
And then Panther comes storming back and goes, why did you do that? And beats you with it.
Y'all don't need me anymore.
Well, here, you take it.
Okay. Usually I give it. Oh! Oh, I so wanted to do something like that when I saw that episode. That is... You need to send me that. That is awesome.
It's a meme.
It's a meme thing. So couple weeks ago, ponies were fursuiting on the show. And yeah, that's totally got to be a meme. Anyway, there's a New Mexico. Hello, Dotcast crew. Well, first off, I want to say I love the podcast. I just found it a few months ago, and I've been hooked since. I heard you guys talking about New Mexico and took it as a sign to write in. Anyways, I guess my question would be, would you guys have any advice on coming out to a longtime friend who knows me as straight? I'm bi and have always acted straight due to family and whatnot, even though I lean more towards the gay side, so to speak. I've known him for almost 11 years, and I don't want to weird out the friendship. He's kind of like a brother to me. But if I start dating a guy, he might find out anyway, and that might be a worse shock. I'm shy to begin with and still new to coming out, so I don't want to make a mess of it, if that makes any sense. Thanks in advance if this gets read. Can't wait to hear all your thoughts on the matter. And for Sexy's voice, I like them all, but I'd have to say Fuzz is my favorite. Woo! Anyways, thanks again. Sincerely, your Albuquerque Snow Leopard Blaze. Oh yeah, fuck 2011. So...
Okay.
And it's sent from his iPad and read on yours.
It's his iPod.
iPod. What? I something.
You fucked up.
Anyway. Yes. Yes, I did. Is it any wonder when I fuck up reading? It's...
So there's this new app you can download on the iPad where you can take college courses for free. Mm-hmm. I suggest reading.
Oh, I can read just fine. It's the talking part I fuck up.
Mm-hmm. All the words get L-shaped. I think the best advice in this situation is not make a big deal out of it. Just be like, hey, you know, bro, by the way, just say, hey, look, I'm gay. Just figured you might want to know. In case, you know, because I'm gonna be dating people, you're gonna find out eventually. But you're my friend that I figured you'd like to know. Bam. Don't make a big deal out of it. Super casual. And if he like asks you questions like, how long did you know? And just like, well, for a while, I just didn't want to weird you out, but I figured, you know, I trust you enough that you can take it and like an adult.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how I came out to some of my best friends, and I feel like I got real lucky, but, you know, and I know other people have and haven't. Like, I've heard of people that, like, they think they know somebody really well, and they react really badly.
Yeah.
But I got lucky. I came out to a friend that was, you know, and it wasn't like it came out for a reason. I was just, I think I wanted to talk to him about, like, my relationship and shit, because this was when I was long distance with Tieran, back when it was really early on. So it was kind of new for me.
Back in the dark ages.
Yeah, either that or it was my long-distance relationship with my ex. But I told my buddy, I was like, dude, you know, I've just figured out that I'm bi. He was like, whoa, dude, which was basically what he said to everything. So I hadn't really thrown his world into turmoil. but, you know, I just basically told him that I was like, look, you know, you're my best friend and I kind of want to, you know, not be hiding something from you, you know, because I want, you know. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of made it a big deal, I guess, like, you know, but I laid it out for him, like, I'm telling you because I trust you, you know, and you know, you're my best friend, no homo. Yeah, that expression didn't exist in the 90s, well, at least not in my world.
Format.
Not in that format, no.
So, basically what it came down to, I mean, most of my friends haven't really bothered coming out because I have stopped talking. Lost contact with them, and everybody I've made for friends from that point on, it's really no secret.
Mm-hmm.
So... I've only had to really come out to one friend in the past, and it's no real big deal because she's had a much rougher road than I do. After being with her other half for many years, he decided to be a she, and that's been a lot more of a big deal to deal with than me being bi. So,
they stay together?
Oh, yeah, they're still together. They've got a kid.
So how is she dealing with that? Because I'm curious.
It's rough. I mean, they're still very good friends. I'm not sure. Money's tight, so they haven't been able to completely go down the full surgery path. But it's rough, but they're still excellent friends. And they were very deliberately, before they started taking the female hormones, she very deliberately got pregnant, because after the hormones, almost impossible.
Right.
So they made a choice to have a kid, and they were going to stay together and have the kid no matter what happened between them relationship-wise for the rest of their life. So they're really good people. But it's not an easy path, because as far as I know, she is technically straight.
Right, yeah.
And now is married to, effectively, a woman.
It's an interesting issue. And I'm always curious how people handle it in different situations.
I know that they're still at least married. They're still raising the kid. I don't know if they're completely a traditional relationship. Or what, but she's very supportive of her, and so it's been a very interesting road. I mean, I don't know if I were straight and my partner decided to change sex exactly how I would have handled it. So it's
it's almost a little easier being bi. Like, they'd be the same person, but,
you know,
how much would it matter? Yeah.
Exactly. So.
Interesting.
Yep,
smokes my bubble pipe. So I guess it's...
That would be back to you, Fuzz.
I just read that one, didn't I?
Yeah, but skip me because I read two in a row.
Oh, so back to me then, I guess. Gosh.
All right, okay.
Reading is hard.
Oh, God. So is
keeping track bullet. Of
directions. Like, clockwise, apparently.
I cannot read. I have the dumb.
Oh, good. I skipped it because this is a long one, and you get it.
What, the big question?
Yeah.
Not that long.
It's more than a paragraph. See, that's long.
I have some of Shiva. I've caught some of Shiva's derbies.
I think the thing is, Shiva, it looks longer to us on the iPad screen than it does on his monitor.
Yeah, well, then again, mine are like super. My monitor is super wide. It's like,
like 20, a way to brag.
Well, it's a 27-inch monitor. Like 2560x1900 or something like that. That's its native resolution. It's ridiculous.
So that's it soft?
Yeah, that's it soft. Just wait until it gets hard. It fills that entire wall. Moving on to the actual email.
It's going to shoot pixels all over you.
Going to throw all sorts of stuff there.
I want a USB port that moans when I plug something into it.
Well, you can actually do that under Windows. You just change the sound.
It's a dum dum.
The little blink. Noise or whatever, when you attach or detach, you can change that sound.
Yeah, sure. True, yeah.
It just goes,
And then Jerry comes and beats you with something.
I'm just sitting there all day plugging my USB drives in and out. And I fill every port with you, and I'm like, triple penetration.
I could just see him go and go, honey.
My computer is such a slut. That's why I have an antivirus program. Always practice safe computing.
Oh, this is the one that no, not that one.
Okay. Oh, this is that one.
This one's from a 17-year-old. Next email.
That is a wall of text.
Yes.
It appears to be, at least from this distance, there appears to be no paragraph breaks.
There
are no
paragraph breaks, but there is punctuation and capitalization.
Okay, so you don't have to read it as one continuous long sentence, all in lowercase.
Yes. Okay, this one's, can I call it a comeback? Smiley face. Felicitations, not casters. Add another one to the pun counter for the subject line. It is good to see you back from hiatus. I hope all of you had a wonderful Christmas and an alcohol-drenched New Year's. Anyways, I'm in a bit of a quandary filled with drama bombs and psycho-clingy bitches, so I'm in need of assistance. A week or so ago, I met this furry my boyfriend introduced me to. Apparently, she was a coworker and a close friend of his since high school. She is very special, so to speak. When I introduced myself to her, she seemed nice. She's attractive, goes to college, but there's a problem. She wants me to be her pet. Now, yeah, I don't have a problem with the whole master pet slave thing, but I've only known her about a week. She brought this up when we all went to lunch a couple days after. She asked my maid if she could be my mistress. Outright asked him, blunt and to the point. We look at her with a quizzical what-the-fuck expression and ask her why. She goes on with this elaborate explanation about how I'd be a good lover, a paw slave, and I could be a great outlet for her kinks. I was confused, so I explained to her, we already have a female partner we play around with. Me and my mate both go away, so we needed a female to expand our horizons. High five. My mate backed me on it. And
over her back?
Yes.
You
and
bro fist.
Stepped off the subject. Until the next day. I was busy at the apartment cleaning up for guests we were expecting that day when I get a phone call from a number who wasn't listed in my contacts. I answered like a moron and guessed who it was. Creepy McFuckass. She asked if she'd come to the apartment while mate was up in Denver for a promotional hearing. I said yes, hoping we should straighten things out and put the awkward moment from the day behind us. She comes over an hour later, primped and dressed up. I asked why she's so dressed. She responds with, I thought my new slave would like it. Slam the door, lock it, and watch the football game. I thought she left after 30 minutes, so I unlocked the door and checked to see if she left. Believe it or not, creepy chick is still standing there, waiting for me to open the door.
Fogging up the little peephole.
This is getting scary.
Yes, it is.
Believe it or not, she's still there, waiting for me to open the door. I open the door, and I tell her we needed to talk. I let her in. Dun, dun, dun. And I explained I wasn't interested in being her paw slave. And I told her I already had a person for things like that. She seemed to take it well, and she left me alone for a little while until yesterday. My mate and I got off work and come home, took a shower together, mind you, and got into relaxation mode for the night. He gets a phone call when we're watching TV from none other than Creepy McFuckass. Apparently, she wants us to go out to dinner with her in a couple days. This is where I need your help. I've tried being polite. I've talked to my hubby about getting her to leave me alone. He's tried and it still doesn't work. Should I take legal action, try being her slave for a night, or something more drastic? I
don't just want her to leave me alone. Don't try being her slave for tonight.
Kindest regard, Rikusaki. Okay, you have acquired a stalker.
Mm.
Yeah.
What no. I would suggest, just for me, go to dinner. Both of you, you and your partner, need to be like, all right, look, this is goddamn unacceptable. We've already expressed that we're not going to do this. If you keep showing up, we're going to call the cops.
I think I forgot the beginning of the email. How did they even meet this woman in the first place?
She's a longtime friend of his husband's, his partner's. And
what the fuck?
I know. It's like, what the hell?
Is she not
very
listening?
Weird.
It's like suddenly she's off her meds or something. I mean,
entirely possible. Just one of those. It's such a seems like a really wild story, but I mean, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I will definitely triple the advice that you need your husband there.
Yeah,
and to go out on this dinner, especially since if she's a longtime friend of his, he knows her better, and maybe it'll be more serious with both of you telling her the same fucking thing.
At the same time. And seriously, say, look, if you keep showing up at my place, I'll just start calling the cops. Because, well, she's trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
And
like she's just
harassing
fucking
you. And that's not acceptable at all. So sometimes you have to play hardball, and this is one of those times.
So she just dropped this on him out of the blue?
Yeah, like, it's like apparently he's known him for like a couple days.
Like, ridiculous. I'm just going to leave this here.
Yeah, you know, by the way, you're now my slave. I thought you'd like to know.
Oh, by the way.
What the fuck? It's not Alabama. That shit ain't legal. Yeah, that's fucked up. Yeah, you need to have a come to Jesus talk with her, and then if she still does the fucking creepy shit, then you might have to actually get legal with her. You know, nothing says I don't love you like a restraining order. So, anyway, next email.
Okay. Let's see. Oh my god! I hope you guys had a nice holiday. :3. That's the subject. Almost a lead in sentence. Howdy, fellas. It's me again, T the Tiger, here to bug you, though I was thinking of changing my name to Cartesian. What do you think? Well, I like it. Also, Shiva's right. I'm Chinese and living in Malaysia. I was going to send you the whole rant about how it's illegal to be gay in this country and how it's bullshit it is, but that's not important. Anyways, I have dun-dun-dun fan wank and some questions or such. It's a wall. I am so sorry. All the emails I send you are walls. Feel free to cut out anything you think isn't important. Let's see.
And now Shiva will edit on the fly.
Blah, 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 blah. Sorry. He really likes Sins of a Solar Empire, so he wants to thank Panther. Let's see.
What is that?
It is a real-time space strategy title on a ridiculously huge scale.
And it's really pretty.
Okay.
Let's see, he's bought Trevor's Tricks for his Kindle.
Oh, cool.
let's see, involved getting a Kindle from Australia and buying gift cards because it isn't supported here. But I managed it. The book was pretty good, and I may have pawed off a few times. And Shiva, your L-shavenness always brightens up my day, but you should also talk more. I thought I talked plenty. So guys, in cat tar L-shaped woman sofa thing, I can't spell Chia Cat, check it. I also want to thank you for your wonderful podcast and good advice and all the times I find myself being stared at in public for laughing too hard. When I'm listening to you guys, I don't feel like I'm alone in the world. I hope I can make it to Daw People Fucking Fiesta soon enough to catch a live show and hopefully bring along a boyfriend.
I can't wait to go to DPFF this February.
Oh, bring lots of rice wine or plum wine if you like.
Hashtag DPFF 2012.
2013.
No. Oh, he's talking about next year.
Okay, I don't know. He might make it in time. It's getting really close.
Yeah.
Oh my, look at that wall. Questions, sorry. I've decided not to go to university abroad and instead staying back for 2 more years. Unhappy face. But it was a good decision. Now I'm in a school, and there's this guy. I've known him for years, but we haven't talked in a long time and recently started talking again. Now these girls are teasing him about this girl he used to like, and he says he doesn't like guys or girls. I asked about it, and we started talking. He says, is being gay really that big a deal? I tell him, no, not really. And then he basically tells me he's questioning his sexuality. He's not sure if he likes guys or girls. Well, I can understand that. It can be hard to tell. And I was trying not to act too excited because I don't want to scare him or for him to know I was gay right away. And here's the catch. Why did he tell me? I don't think his regular friends know. I have reason to trust this new guy. He's the sweetest guy ever. Just too perfect to be straight. Now that he's confessed to me, he's currently questioning what should I do. I want to tell him that I'm gay, but that might scare him off. Right now, he's my shining beacon of hope that I'm not the only gay in the village, so what should I say? Any advice you can give me on this will be great help, and yeah, I'm really confused about this. One last thing. Remember the guy from the previous emails? And remember how I didn't hate him? Well, fuck that. It turns out he told people I was gay. He fucking told them, and this is all in caps.
Ah, jeez.
I'm not popular, so news about me doesn't spread like a fox. But I don't know how many people he told or what exactly he told them. But it might be a good thing, though, for people to know. It's not like I'll get beaten up or anything. We don't do those things here. We have principles. Anyway, he's a fucking douchebag. With love, you're hopeful and yet slightly pissed tiger Cartesian. I like that name. So, you've got the questioning friend, and you're gay, and do you tell him and maybe scare him off?
I think the best bet is to just be a friend to him, because, well, yes, that he might not be the only gay in the village, but he's also somebody that looks like he may need just a friend, and sexuality doesn't necessarily have to come into play.
Especially a friend that's safe.
You know, if he's already trusted you enough to tell you this information, which may or may not be socially acceptable where you are, then that's already showing a bit of trust and a bit of, you know, risk-taking on his part. So I would suggest just being a friend and seeing how things go. And if it does come up and you really feel that it's the best time to tell them, do so. But don't make a big deal out of it. Because really, it's just part of who you are. What do you think?
No, I think you pretty much just hit it on the head. Really play it by ear. Maybe give him some more time to sort his things out. Give him an ear to talk to and bounce ideas off of.
Be a friend first and then potential anything else later.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. And I'm also, you know, I'm kind of curious that they don't go beating up gays there because it is actually still illegal in that country, but. You know, I'm not privy to...
He said Southeast Asia. There's quite a few countries there.
Well, he said he was in Malaysia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Malaysia's interesting.
Well, I mean, he specifically said it was illegal to be gay there, which means that the gays have got to be very on the down low, even more so than, you know, here, where it's not illegal, per se, but we have to deal with the persecution. I would definitely play it safe, basically. Because I'm just concerned about him legally.
You could always just tell him that it doesn't have, and it remind him, or maybe he doesn't know, that you don't have to be A or B. You don't have to like either or. There is D, all of the above.
Yeah.
You know, there are bisexuals. There are people who are perfectly wired to like not just guys and girls, but maybe guys who like guys mostly and girls only a little. Or they mostly like girls, but sometimes the guys will turn their heads. There's a whole spectrum between A and B, so.
Just make yourself the open person that he can talk to about that. And, you know, if things develop along the way of, you know, relationship-wise or physically, then that's fine. Like I said, I tend to be on the more conservative side when I'm worried about legality and stuff like that. If this is something that you could really get in trouble for or go to jail for or something like that, I would be very cautious since you're on the down low.
I agree.
Okay, so my turn to read one?
Your turn.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Just the way him are.
Oh, I know this one.
Oh,
I know this. Well, this reader's one that's written to me and talked to me. He's a nice guy.
Marfity Barf Barf dot cast. It's Fujimaru Husky in once more with another question. Now I'm a Navy Husky, so my body looks like it. But this time I mean I've got a very toned swimmer's build. I work out a lot and do a lot of outdoor things. Free running, swimming, DDR, anything that gets me moving. Now my boyfriend is kind of big, not super huge, but he does have a tummy. I love big boys. I don't know what it is about big guys, but they drive me wild. Not overweight, but belly is a good thing to have if you want to be with this husky. However, I digress. My guy is super self-aware of his tummy. He hates it. He looks at me all the time, and I have to hear how he wants to look like I do. He works out, but not much has changed, and he's still really touchy about his tummy. For example, when I try to hug around his middle, he'll push my hands away or pull out of my embrace. I like to hug him from behind at times so I can let my hug say I love you and my huskyhood say it's sexy time. I know in my head it's not him saying he doesn't love me, but my heart still hurts. I don't know how to reassure him that I love him just the way he is. I've told him. I've gotten art of us together during the iffy times. I work extra hard to find the words to tell him how beautiful he is to me and how much I want him. I guess my overall question is, what can I do to reassure him that he's perfect and that I love him the way he looks, that for me, bigger is better? Listening on FT.SAM.
Fort Sam.
Fort Sam, okay. Fujimaru Husky. P.S. Fuzz, I still have your gift all wrapped up and ready to go. I'll try to make it to Furry Fiesta. If not, I'll be at AC. Just look for the big pink husky with the crown.
So, I see two things here. One, you like him how he is. He doesn't like the way he looks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's good to support and say that the person doesn't have to change to make you happy. You also have to be supportive of them. And if they're not happy with the way they look, you also need to encourage them and be supportive of them with how they want to change themselves. If he wants to slim down and improve his physicalness, then be supportive of that. You don't have to tell him you're fine the way you are, but basically any way that he wants to go, if he's happy with the way he is, don't try to push him to be thinner. If he wants to be thinner, be supportive of him and help him go down that path. It's basically If he wants to change, don't try to force him to stay the same way, too. I know you like big guys, but if it makes him feel better to slim down, don't prevent him from doing so. It'll be more happy for him in the long run.
This could be somewhat of an emotional minefield. As someone who's been overweight most of my life, it takes a long time to get to the point where you're okay with yourself, you know? Like, yeah, I still have times where I'm like, yeah, I could stand to lose a few pounds. Yeah, it'd be nice to be healthier and stuff like that. But I don't think that I'm some hideous thing or push away people that want to have contact with me. But that takes a long time to kind of build up to that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he sounds like maybe he could be younger. Maybe he's me when I was in my early 20s or something.
Yeah, if I remember, these two are both in their early 20s,
right.
Late teens.
It's an age when you have a lot more insecurity about your looks. And everybody has insecurity about their looks at some point in their lives. And for some people, you know, that sticks around for a little longer. You know, for heavier guys, it's something that you... If it's just not going away, if that's just the way that you're built, you kind of have to learn to live with it. Mm-hmm. And that takes a long time to really get to. And yeah, so he's just at that. So, I mean, just be supportive of him, you know, do like Shiva said, basically to be supportive of him. I would definitely just continue to reassure him, you know, that you don't care. Do you love him the way he is, and you'll still love him if he does lose weight? You know, you'll love him either way.
Whatever makes him happy, whether he comes to grips with how he is, or if he changes his look to fit what he thinks he should be mentally. Whichever makes him happy, that's the way you need to go.
Yeah. Basically, just be supportive of him, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah.
So that would be your turn, unless indeed. That's the...
I'm going to say probably this last one should be it, because it is nearly midnight when we're recording it here.
Okay.
And I need to be up somewhat early.
Right.
And anything else, we'll hit next week. No subject. Hello, Knockout's crew. This is the irreputable Lear Strott. Reporting in, I'm a college badger and a longtime listener. I have been a bit of an issue for you guys, though technically it falls outside the relationship, and even furry, really. It all comes back to the fact I have a bit of chemical imbalance that gives me chronic severe depression. Ooh. Reading. Okay. let's see. A lot of stuff I used to literally beat myself over were things that I had done several years before. You see, I was not always a high and hearty caring. Okay, I can keep a straight face for that. I used to be an even bigger asshole than I am now. Especially to a friend of mine named Redacted. But I suppose we can call him Beta. Friendship trigonometry. Anyways, there's not too terribly much I can remember about this time nowadays due to many head injuries. What I do recall is me being beyond the pale bully to Beta. In several cases, I believe I could count as physical abuse. I've often fantasized of finding him or maybe running across him by accident and apologizing. Afterwards, of course, I would find the nearest gun and ventilate my brain pan. I, in fact, programmed this response in. It's pretty difficult for me to go against something I have programmed into myself. So, enough backstory. Onto the problem, the question, and hopefully a solution. Guess who's a certain class of mine and recognized me and walked up to say hello? None other than Beta himself. I'm no longer suicidal all the time, or even most of the time. You can thank ponies and possibly even Saverin since he introduced me, damn him. But there's a strong impulse to follow the behavior pattern I set for myself, apologize, and kill myself. I managed to stutter out a request for his phone number now that I have it, but Beta seems to be, well, a bit scared of me. And I have no fucking idea what to do next. I'd love to have some advice, or perhaps just to shut the fuck up and listen to me. Please, rules and Acastia, help this badger be and not an idiot for once. Badge from Oklahoma, Lear Strott. P.S. My favorite's Fluttershy, go figure.
I think you need to actually talk to a therapist about this.
Yeah, because apologizing to people you bullied and were a shit to is always a good thing. Because usually they'll have forgotten it, or if they didn't, they'll usually forgive you. And it's also a nice weight off your soul. Then there's the second part, the second step to this solution, this thing. Not the best idea. Seriously, you need to see, like, a school counselor. You're in a class, you're in a college, you're in a high school, you have mental health professionals or people at your school that can help you get some mental help. And, you know, as we've said on the show before, getting a mental health evaluation is not a bad thing. We in America are so, we're going to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. That's kind of bullshit. And masking these kind of mental issues, it's not the best idea. Sometimes you just need some mental help from other people. And that's just the way it goes. So go to your campus, student health center, student whatever, and there are programs there, I guarantee it. Even in Oklahoma.
And two, if you just do this, keep in mind that one apology is one thing and it won't instantly make things better. So training yourself to just do that and then end it is not the way to make it up to this person. You might want to start thinking about, you know, I need to basically undo all the crap that I did. An apology won't do it, but being nice to the guy, being friendly to him, being a good human being undoes that kind of crap. And so it's not a one quick solution. So kind of start training yourself to think about, there's more to this apology than just one quick, hey, I'm sorry, see ya. An apology is more than just one statement. It takes actions to follow through with that. And maybe thinking of it that way, thinking I'm not done, might help you stave off the follow-up urge until you've gone through enough counseling to get on an even keel again. It's just an idea, since you have trained yourself as a way to start undoing the training and help hang on. Just an idea. So, I could be wrong. I'm not a professional. Except bad at talking.
I'm down with what you guys said.
Okay. So, yes.
So, yeah. Ugh, goodness, what a downer. But seriously, see your campus health office. They have people that can help. Because it is a big deal in colleges, a lot of them, you know, even the community colleges, Brookhaven did, have these flyers up. Depressed? Feeling stressed out? Call us for help. And there are little flyers all over the damn campus.
Well, they got enough students that get panicky and really depressed when finals and grades and everything come out that they have to have things on.
I'm not making light of this, but between Columbine, Virginia Tech, hazing, depression, you know, alcohol drinking to excess. Colleges and universities are going to be a little bit more up on mental health of their students than they were, you know, like 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So they should have those resources available.
Exactly. Make use of them. They're usually free or extremely cheap, and think of it as part of your tuition.
Yep. So, do we have a topic for next week, or just kind of whatever?
Let's see. Next week is the tail end of January. I don't have anything necessarily planned, other than, well, we'll have another episode on Friday.
I have a little idea.
Okay.
Since that'll be the end of January. We're coming up very quickly on Furry Fiesta. This doesn't have to be a whole topic, but it could be sort of a side topic. Why not put it out there, Furry Fiesta Q&A? Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions about the con or, you've never been to a con and this is your first one, or just how this con handles particular areas. This might require a little research on our part, and, you know, we could talk to the other staff members. But right into the show, because, you know, there are no stupid questions, only stupid people. So if you write in with a question like, you know, how do I do this? You know, there might be other people listening who have never been to a con before that, you know, that may want to hear that information too. That doesn't just have to apply to Fiesta in particular, you know, if you're going to another con this year or something like that. So
it's a good time for questions either about our particular con or cons in general.
Yes, convention Q&A, basically.
Sounds like a good warm-up.
There we go.
All right.
All right, so on that note.
Good night.
And big balls.